Hi, my beloved. My name is Reverend Dennis Marshall, founder of True Teaching Ministries. Today, I want to talk to you on the topic, family leadership. What is a leader? Oftentimes, I hear a leader is someone who has at least one follower. But for me, that definition is too simple when defined in context of a family. This short article attempts to describe family leadership in context of the Bible. A family leader is the person that carries the responsibility to influence desired outcomes in the family and through the family. This leader must have an ear for God's voice, a heart or a passion for influencing direction, and a discipline prone to act on all the above, even when the pathway seems fraught with danger or confusion. This leader helps the family unit operate on a vision and a set of principles. The family leader recognizes when cooperation is lacking or when the desired outcome is not being met. This leader encourages, coaches, reminds, and assists the full unit to operate with purpose in mind. When it comes to the children in the family unit, the leader has authority to manage outcomes, but does so by creating a cooperative, loving environment. As it relates to the spouse, the leader exercises a kind of pseudo-authority. Pseudo in the sense, while the authority is granted by God, where the Word of God declares the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. That's 1 Corinthians 11:3. While that's expressed, likewise, we know every person is given free will. And no one owns another person. No wonder Joshua commanded the people to choose who they would serve. And then he declared, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's Joshua 24 and 15. So if the spouse chooses to cooperate, then the express obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. However, if the spouse does not cooperate with a submitted spirit, the phrase pseudo-authority is empty words. The family unit is weaker as a result. Jesus said, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Mark chapter 3, verse 25. The family leader must be connected to God. Can I say that again? The family leader must be connected to God. This leader must be surrendered to God in order to lead and prevail against forces that attempt to undermine and disrupt the family unit. Disruption may come via societal influences or enticements that are essentially facades. The leader must take on the accountability of the family state of being, the sense of direction, and overall outcomes of the family. The leader must nurture and congeal or solidify the unit for success. Now, oftentimes, the leader is required to sacrifice and to give of oneself. Sometimes this may mean generating consensus and agreement. Sometimes this may mean being more direct when the opportunities are present and just saying, "This is the direction we need to go," when in the midst of headwinds and the opportunities are present. Whether directing or consensus building, the leader keeps the focus and communicates that focus so that the family unit's desire overall outcome is clear. See, the family leader works hard to foster fulfillment within each member of the family unit. This means engaging everyone's giftedness, encouraging that opinions and concerns are shared and heard. The leader can never acquiesce leadership that was assigned by God, nor can the leader ever operate as a tyrant, dictator, or God, little g. The Bible is written to every member of the family, and each person will have to give an account for the execution of their role. Thus, the family leader, with all the abilities available and through much prayer, must set the example of humility and fellowship as it relates to God's commands and guidance. Through example and a gentle spirit, prayerfully, family fellowship occurs. But what if the family or certain members of the family attempt to strip the leader of the leader's responsibilities or authority? Then what? The leader is assigned the leadership position as command by God. Only God may strip the leader of the role. So when fellowship is not offered by the members of the family, they in turn rebel against the order God established for the family. Regardless, the leader cannot make anyone follow. Can I say that again? Regardless, the leader cannot make anyone follow. The willingness of the followers is essential. So, if rebellion surfaces, the leader must remain firm in the role while engaging the dissidents in a loving discussion of the pros and cons. The author word here is loving. For love or charity is summarized in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, which states, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You may ask, what about compromise? How does compromise fit into all of this? My beloved, negotiations can be helpful. Negotiations must never, however, detour the family unit from its God-assigned purpose of being God's kingdom on earth. So then you may ask, well, if you can't get cooperation, then what about tough love? How does that fit into this process? I would say, well, it depends on how you define tough love. Sometimes tough love is interpreted to mean to squash the rebellion and leave bodies in its wake. And in that case, my beloved, I say to you, avoid tough love. However, if tough love means to be intentionally focused on the desired outcome of the family unit and to not relent, then yes, tough love fits. But it fits when it's done in the spirit called for in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, whereas the leader must restore the person, that dissident, in the spirit of meekness. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 are also helpful. It says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. When the leader makes a misstep and leads to a decision that is unfruitful, the leader owns that mistake, works hard to regain and maintain family confidence, and reroutes the efforts for success. This is an appropriate place to interject a quote from Nelson Mandela. He stated, I never lose, I either win or learn. My beloved, there we find the power in mistakes is found in the learning behaviors demonstrated afterwards. Life lessons are presented to family members on how to recover from mistakes. Transparency and honesty will serve the leader well. The only perfect leader I have ever met is God. All else are imperfect and subject to errors. Leaders, work hard to avoid repeating failures, and through Christ, you will develop and improve. When mistakes or missteps occur, and they will, invite forgiveness and learn. My beloved, I've shared with you several considerations in this article. Above all, the leader must be an example of fellowship. In other words, the leader must demonstrate submission to God in thoughts, words, and deeds. Consistent, deliberate, visible alignment to God's word and direction is paramount. The leader must exercise Christian disciplines involving prayer, study, worship, spiritual growth. A wise leader will always invite God's counsel and remove self from the discussion. Family leader, your family is watching. Therefore, lead by example. Whether the family unit is operating in unity or there are elements of rebellion, the family leader is charged to lead like Christ leads the church. This may sound simple, but it's hardly that. You see, Christ was wounded for us. And in comparison, the leader may experience hurt feelings, squashed confidence, injured self-esteem, tarnished reputation, sap energy, or even physical pain. Yet, the leader must lead. And when that leader has done all that can be done, that leader must keep standing on the commands and promises of God. Finally, I want to leave you with this thought from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It declares, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So then, let everyone that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Let each of us take our proper place, because obedience is better than sacrifice." Amen, amen, and amen.